Please welcome our international guest speaker from Everton Park, the gorgeous Carol Prater.
Thanks, honey. Wow, such a great intro. Now, I'm a little bit, I don't like this really spread out thing happening today. We actually, I'll get you to move soon, so get prepared to move, all right? Are you ready for that? Can you do that? Can you be cooperate? Because I just can't look all the way over here and then all the way over there. I just want to get everyone on the bus today, and the bus is going to be in these two rows of seats. So you can start to move into those seats now if you want to, because if you're on the bus, the bus isn't on the outskirts, is it? You just got to come and get into the centre. Good job. Good job. Yay. So no one can be on the outskirts. Everyone has to come in the centre. Come into the centre. You can sit right in the back row if you like, because if you've got to be so far away. Oh, good job, Israel. Yeah, I'm top of the class. All right, I just want to get everyone into... What are these people over here being difficult? You don't want to come into the centre? See, there's seats over here and this over here, Pastor Oscar, and... Yeah, over here. Okay, is that being too difficult? All right. It just helps. It helps when you're speaking not to have to look all the way over there. So, all right. I'm sorry to upset everyone and get you out of your comfort zone. Welcome to church this morning, family. How good is it to be in the house of the Lord? How wonderful to lift His name on high. And I just loved our worship that we give Him the highest praise. That's really what this place is all about, lifting the name of Jesus above every circumstance, every matter in our lives. And there's four P's that the Lord has given me for this year. And the first one He gave me was purpose. You know that this whole year the Lord's been talking to me about four P's. I've just got to get them right in my head now. Let's look at my notes. Purpose was the first one. The second one was prepared. We must be prepared. And I think giving Him the highest praise and entering that place of worship where we're adoring Him is a really good place to be. And position, purpose, and purity. These are the four P's that the Lord's been talking to me about. And God is drawing His beloved close to Him. I'm so happy that you guys have moved into the center. It just really makes it easy when you're talking. So thank you. Give yourselves a round of applause for doing that. But today, I actually truly want to take you on a ride, on a bus trip. Does anyone like to go on vacation? Does anybody like to go on vacation? Okay, all right. So there's some of us here that like, you know what? I love vacation. And in fact, I find the anticipation of going on vacation even almost better than the vacation itself. Because I wind myself, I'm going on holidays, I can't wait. The kids, we all talk about it, we all get excited about it. And you know that there's a study they did in America that found that pre-holiday happiness was actually greater than the happiness of being on the holiday, and that post-holiday happiness was actually pretty much below zero, or like you'd never been on holiday at all. Which I actually believe that study is true, because when I go on vacation, I don't want to come back. And then all the couple of days before it, instead of the pre-holiday anticipation, I'm like, oh, the holiday's almost over. And then sometimes I think this really foul thought, which must be from the seed of hell, that says, oh, I don't really want to go back. I just want to stay here. And that's not really a good frame of mind, is it? It's not really a good frame of mind. So maybe holidays aren't that good an idea. Maybe we shouldn't go on holidays at all. That's the foul thought I was thinking. But no, that isn't what I want to do. I want us today to imagine that we're actually going to a really wonderful place today. Can we imagine that? Can we believe for it? So we're all on the bus, and I'm all taking you to have a very intimate and private time with Kanye West. Are you excited? oh, that's a joke, actually. We're not going to go and see Kanye. As cool as it would be, because I think what Kanye's doing at the moment is amazing. And God is raising up people, famous people, to be his light, yeah, to glorify his name across the earth. That is wonderful. But today I want to take you on a bus that takes you to my house for lunch to meet with Jesus. He's there. He's at my house. Is he? He's at my house. And he's going to have lunch with you guys. Would you all come? Would you like to have a chat with him face to face, heart to heart? Yeah? Well, you know what? You don't need to hop on a bus. You don't need to come to my place for lunch because he's right here right now. And he's where you are all the time. When you accepted Jesus into your life, you're carrying him around everywhere you go. That's exciting. That's exciting. You know, many years ago, my dad was in hospital. He had heart surgery, and there was complications after his surgery, and he was put into an induced coma. And in that time that he was in an induced coma, I was going up there every day. This is when Matt and I started dating, actually. I was going up there every day and praying with him and singing songs over him. And I was singing a song, an old Vineyard song, that was called, let me think about it, All Who Are Thirsty, All Who Are Thirsty. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the streams of life. And I would sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. That's the word of those songs. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, come and be with my dad. And when my dad woke up out of his induced coma, he had very vivid dreams. And one of the dreams he had that he shared with us was that we were all on a bus going to the most beautiful place. His words were, in fact, we're going to paradise. And in his mind, paradise, because he loved Vanuatu, he loved scuba diving, and he said, we're going to go to Vanuatu. And he said, all of the family are on the bus. And I even knew as he was speaking to me that this was a prophetic dream. He said, every single person in our family is on the bus, and Carol, you're driving the bus. So today, I'm actually driving this bus. You guys are in the seats, and I'm taking you to a place called paradise. You ready? You ready? Good. All right. I want to drive you into the invitation that God gives us in his word. In Matthew 11:28, he says, is that going to come up on the screen? Or is somebody going to do that for me? But he says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Does anyone feel like that? I think Israel was trying to get us up out of that today. Many of us are carrying things that the Lord does not want us to carry. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. Wow. I would love a good rest. I love rest. I love to lay on my bed. I don't like to go to sleep, but I just like to rest, to take a load off. And that's what Jesus offers us. He says, come to me. It's a beautiful invitation from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, what if Kanye invited you somewhere, or the Queen of England? If she sent you an invitation, would you be surprised? Would you be excited to receive this invitation from the Queen or from one of the most famous people that means something to you? You'd be pretty, I would think that you would be thrilled. I think that you would be thrilled to receive an invitation from the Queen or from a famous person. Even in Christian circles, we get excited about certain preachers, don't we? Certain teachers, the ones that we kind of follow. And we would go anywhere to see them. We would even maybe pay money. We would even maybe pay money to see them. But here, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who put the stars in their place, the creator of the whole world, invites us to come. Wow. Wow, that is pretty fantastic. And as I've been learning in Bible school, sometimes we've got to understand the historical context and the cultural context of what Jesus was saying here. In his red letters, Jesus is saying to the Israelites who are under the heavy burden of the Pharisees, laws and teaching, he's saying to them that they're actually feeling a great weight. They're feeling weighed down by the do's and don'ts of the laws of the Pharisees. And it's pretty heavy to carry. And they're thinking, oh, we're not doing it right. We feel guilty because we've made a mistake. We're frustrated because things aren't going the way they're meant to. We're not following the law exactly. And they were feeling that the weight of legalism was upon them. And here's Jesus saying, I am asking you to come to me and I'm going to take these weights off you. It's a bit hard to get our head around. In Matthew 23:2, Jesus refers to the scribes and the Pharisees as men who sit in Moses' seat. The Pharisees claimed the authority of Moses as interpreters and teachers of the law, those that were under the Mosaic law or the law of Moses. Would I be able to get some water just so yeah. So these were the one under the authority of the Pharisees. They were said to be yoked to the Pharisees. So you could either be yoked to Moses. So in Hebrew understanding, whoever was the good rabbi, the good teacher, you came under the yoke of that teaching. And so they came under that yoke and they were under the yoke of the Pharisees at this time. And I just want to say to you guys, we've got to be careful about who we're yoked to. Yeah? Who we're yoked to and who we're quoting back and who we're referring to when we're talking and the attitudes of our hearts and minds. We've got to be careful about these yokes. So in the midst of all this religious setting, the Lord makes a very gracious invitation, a very gracious invitation to all who would want to experience the relief. Who wants to feel relief? Who wants to feel joy? Who wants to experience the blessing that we receive in a life walking? Here he is. He's offering us that. He's saying, would you like to feel relief? Would you like to feel joy? Would you like to experience something that's beautiful? Paradise. Would you like to experience it? Yes. He's saying, come to me. And Spurgeon, one of the greatest great men of faith. He actually preached on this scripture more than any other. Actually, they believe hundreds of times. I don't know the exact details, but Spurgeon has a quote that says, this is a gracious invitation of the gospel of salvation in which Jesus' tears and smiles were blended as in a covenant rainbow of promise. I mean, that's something to smile about. How's that? A covenant rainbow of promise. Come, his favorite word is come. That is Jesus' favorite word. He drives no one away. He calls us to himself, not to doctrine, not to ministry, not to anything, but first, come to me. Come to me. He says, Jesus says, come to me. Our personal Savior, who handed us his life on that cross. He actually exchanged his life for mine. Carol's life is gone. I get emotional when I think about this. Wow! God took my life and he gave me his. It's no longer me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. That is the most beautiful. That is what we celebrate here. We are invited into a relationship with the King of Kings. That's why I cry. The joy of my salvation is always with me. I pray that you feel that. That is what drives me. That is what wakes me up every morning. He is the first thing on my lips and the last thing at night. He is the joy inside of me because he lives in me. He dwells in me. It's such a great thing. Christianity, we've got to preach Jesus. We've got to preach the glorified Jesus. That is what we're doing here in this house. Jesus glorified in and through me and in and through all of you. Yeah, we've got to see it. So Christianity is a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. It's not a call to a program. It's not a call to a religious system. It's not a call to a church or to any human leader. It is a call to Jesus. To come. And, too often the church And I struggle with this too. We struggle with this in ministry, is trying to clone subordinates. You know, it's like instead of helping develop Christ-like people that draw people to themselves, it's like people are drawing people to themselves, and it's like reproducing graven images. Can you feel the weight of that? That's what we can be like. We can look to somebody that is a leader, that is a church movement, and that becomes something we want to duplicate. That is not the mission of what Jesus says here. He says, come to me. Come to me. That is who if we're going to be cloned, we're going to be cloned to be just like Jesus. Not like a system, a culture. And you know what? I believe this church is called to be a shift in that. You know, it is really hard not to conform, to be clone-like. It's very difficult because we've set up religious systems. Even in our own thinking, in our own minds, we think these are the ways things should be done. That's the way it should be done. But the Holy Spirit is new every morning. Yeah? He's not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. But the thing is, it's unto him. Unto him, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. So, yes, God does use people and God does use churches. It is his beloved bride, but we have to be who Jesus is in us. Yeah? Not to be a carbon copy of somebody else. I have to be Carol. And I'm just sharing my struggle. I have struggled just to be me. Just to be me. And not to be what somebody thinks I should be. I was thinking of that song by, I think her name's Casey. She's a Christian music singer. She says, am I not pretty enough? Is my heart too broken? It's a secular song. But you know what? All of us are trying to fit into to looking like something. You know, all we have to fit in to look like is Jesus. And it is what he looks like inside of me. He made me. He created me uniquely. I don't have to look. In fact, it's wrong for me to try and be somebody else or look like someone. That's actually sin. When I'm trying to look like somebody else or act like someone else, be like someone else, I've got to be me. And today he's calling you. He says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and be like me. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's it's a burden to try and be someone you're not. Amen. It's very difficult. So sometimes in our lives we're trying so hard to manufacture joy, peace, financial freedom, having everything the way we think it should be, when instead we can just let our fruitfulness come from our life source. What a burden lifter when we realize we're not working in our lives to produce something, but actually to release something. Something that is already inside of us. You know what? His promises are good. How's this bus trip going? Are you all comfortable? Are you ready for drinks yet? Are you going okay? All right. So you know what? He says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke and you'll learn from me. And we rest in faith and we rest through obedience. You know, in this time of prayer and fasting, there's so much revelation, and I believe we're going to start preaching out of that. But right now, this is what the Lord wants me to say, is there's no amount of law keeping that can bridge the gap between our sinfulness and God's holiness. The prophet Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, God said, all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. And Paul in Romans 3:20 says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Praise God for Jesus, yeah? He is the bridge to freedom. The yoke is easy. Why? Because it's a yoke of repentance and faith accompanied by a singular and passionate commitment to follow him. 1 John 5 verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So we find rest in faith and we rest through obedience. So what's your burden? What's the burden upon your shoulders today? You know, whatever your burden is, it is the master passion of your life. Sometimes it lies in our subconscious. Sometimes we don't know what it is. It's the driving force that gets you going every single day. It's the aim or goal of your life, the thing that causes you to get up each morning and start a new day. Jesus said, "My burden is light." Jesus said, "My burden was light." What was Jesus' burden? What was Jesus' burden? The first statement that Jesus ever made was this. He said, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" This was the driving passion, the burden upon Jesus. He said, "Also, I always do these things that please the Father. I came to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his works." These are the burdens on Jesus. "I delight," he said, "to do the will of God." Jesus declares that his burden is light. It's easier to please God, actually, than it is to please yourself or to please others. It's actually easier to please God. And you know how you please him? You come to him. I hear the burdens people carry for the Lord. I hear people say, "I'm carrying a burden for the Lord." And I say that too. I've said that too. I think it's a good thing that sometimes the Lord gives us something to pray about, to fast about, to intercede about. But if the burden's too heavy, then you'd better question and ask where that burden came from. Did it come from yourself or did it come from someone else? Because the Lord says that his burden is light and his burden is easy. So one thing for sure, it wasn't the Lord if it's heavy. He said that the burden is light, the burden is light, the burden is light. And our soul, finding rest for our soul, the soul's related to our mind. He promises we will have peace in our mind. Are you waking up at night? Do you wake up at night? Are you wrestling with things? Are you? Yeah. There's people here wrestling with things. Is there a problem that you're rehearsing over and over in your mind? Jesus said, "Come and you'll find rest." And later we're going to have you come out and be free from those things. I love in verse 27, he said that the Father has delivered all things to him. And in verse 25, he tells us, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." And I just really feel that the Lord wants you to walk in abundance and breakthrough. And sometimes we've got to break from things to get into our breakthrough. I had a dream. I've had lots of dreams in the period of prayer and fasting. And the dream I felt the Lord wanted me to share with you today was I had a dream that I was at my neighbor's house and there was lots of people in the backyard. We were having a celebration. And in the backyard, I said, "It's time for me to go now." So I said, "Goodbye, I'm leaving," and waved to everyone. As I was walking up my neighbor's driveway, it was a wide pathway. And to the side in there was dead leaves at the side of the pathway. And I stopped for a moment to look at the dead leaves. And in those dead leaves were snakes, sleeping snakes. And I was like, "Oh, see that?" And I called to the neighbor and to the people in the backyard, and I said, hey, there are dead leaves and snakes here. You must get rid of these. And you know what they did? They went, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I went, hey, no, this, you've got to really deal with these snakes, because they're asleep now, but they're going to wake up. These snakes are going to wake up. And when they wake up, they're going to be moving snakes. And I don't like snakes. Do you? No. And I really sense that what the Lord's saying is these dead leaves, they're old ways. They're our old ways. They're our old religion. Yeah. God is going to pour new wine into new wineskins. And we have to get rid of the old. And we've got to have those new. Jeremiah talks about that you'll be a tree planted beside living waters, streams, roots will go deep, and those green leaves will stay green. That's what we want. We want to have our roots down deep. The Holy Spirit wants to come alive in your life. But he cannot do that when there is snakes in the driveway, where there is dead leaves in the driveway. You know what the snakes represent? Snakes equals long tails, equals lies. It equals deception. It equals accusations and deception. And you know what? God wants us to be brought out of that. He wants us moving into the new. But you've got to be awakened to those things that are operating in your life. Are those things operating in your life? Are you prepared? The Lord said to me early when I preached a message similar to this at another church, the Lord said to me, it's time to get honest. It's time to get honest. We believers must get honest. The other thing that I learned while I was having our time of prayer and fasting, and this all relates into the Lord wanting us to come to him for revelation. So that's what we did. In our time of prayer and fasting, we came to the Lord and said, Lord, please deal with us first. Deal with me, Jerusalem. Fix up what's going on inside of me. And you know what? The Lord showed me that the flesh is so carnal. You know, our flesh, our attitudes of flesh are so carnal. Romans 8 verse 7 says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. A carnal spirit wars against God. It does not want to be told what to do. And you know what? That is the same as taking the yoke off. Do you know that? Do you know that when you're yoked to Christ, he is the one actually carrying the load. He is the one carrying the load. When you take that yoke off, that is what you're doing when your flesh rises up. And when your flesh rises up, it takes the yoke off and says, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And my kids, when they were little, you know what they would say? I'd go to help them to do something, and they'd say, I do it. I do it. And I'd say, oh, Mommy, help you? No, I do it. If you have had children, you know that that's what they say. We are children of the living God, and we do that. We say, no, God, I don't need your yoke. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. We think we hear from God sometimes, don't we? I make lots of mistakes. I think it's God speaking sometimes, but it's often me saying, I'm doing it. And he's like, you know what? He's not a God that puts pressure on me. He says, okay, you do it. But friends, we must be prepared. We must be in position. We must be a people of purity. And we can do that when we're yoked with Christ. Matt had a dream when he was in Papua New Guinea about a snake, a big snake around the nation of Papua New Guinea. He shared it when he was there, and he said that there was a snake, and God had, Matt put his hands around the snake to kill it, and he couldn't. He couldn't kill the snake. But then God, in the vision, God put his hands around on top of Matt's hands and squeezed the snake and killed the snake. Yeah? So I love that dream because these snakes that operate in our lives, we can't get rid of them alone. We need the Holy Spirit. There's no amount of striving. There's no amount of working hard, following all the laws and all these kind of things. We just need God operating in us. And he's going to say, hey, you know what? There's fear. We want to get rid of fear. There's sin in your life that I want to deal with. He's not angry at you. He just wants to help us get rid of those things. Yeah? In Revelation 3 verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. And today, on this bus going to paradise, what greater joy is there to enter into that time with the Lord? He's standing there knocking. You know one thing? I love my puppy dog. She is the cutest dog in the whole world. If you have a dog, I'm sure she's cute for you, but my dog is the best. Okay. And she waits at the door. If I've got the door shut to my bedroom, she's knocking on the door. She's like, chunk, 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 chunk. And I'm like, Tilly, stop it. You know, that's what we do to the Lord sometimes, isn't it? We go, Lord, don't come in. I don't want to invite you into every area of my life. Last week we had Pastor Prosper. The Lord's speaking to us. Last week Pastor Prosper preached on Mary and Martha. Martha did the one thing that mattered. Are we going to do the one thing that matters? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have to choose the one thing that matters. And little Gracie actually wrote, after Pastor Prosper last week, she felt to stay in the service and to listen to him. And she went home and she wrote a whole essay on what he preached on. And the thing that really stood out to me about what she wrote down, because she was moved by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'll be moved by the Holy Spirit into closer relationship with him. Because, you know, it's the one thing that matters. And she wrote this one thing down, and I'll try and remember it. She said, she was talking about the difference between Mary and Martha, and she said Martha was busy serving Jesus. Martha was so busy serving Jesus, but really Jesus wanted to serve Martha. And in her little writing she wrote, do you want to serve Jesus, or do you want Jesus to serve you? And that's what Jesus is saying here. Come to me. I want to serve you. And you know that yoke? I'll finish with this. I've got so many little bits of paper here. So I think I wrote about 25 sermons in preparation for this, but only one matters. There's this little story that there was an old farmer plowing with a team of oxen. And I was raised on the farm, so I love farm stories, okay? But I also, too, just want you to realize that that yoke looks like something. The reason that Jesus isn't just saying it to use colorful language, it actually, if you've seen a yoke on a beast, have you seen oxen with the yokes on them? These things are, you know, on their heads, over their necks. And it looks like something. So people were watching this team of oxen, and they were amazed at what they watched. For one was a huge ox, a massive ox, and the other was a tiny small little bullock, like a tiny small bullock. And the ox towered quite a lot over the little bullock. And they were amazed and perplexed to see a farmer trying to plow with two such unequal animals. So doesn't that, how does that work? In the yoke. And so they were amazed and perplexed to see a farmer trying to plow. And then they all commented on the inequality that was, because it was sort of unfair to the little, was it unfair to the big ox, or was it unfair to the little bullock? You know, that poor little bullock trying to pull not what its weight couldn't pull. And the farmer, they all quizzed the farmer, and he stopped and he said, I want you to notice something. See the way those traces are hooked to the yoke? They're the things that connect to the yoke, and then it goes on up along the for the person to hold. But anyway, I can't explain. I wanted to have a photo of it, but I couldn't find one. He stopped his car and he said, I want you to see something. See the way the traces are hooked to the yoke. You'll observe that the large ox is actually pulling all the weight, and that the little bullock is being broken into the yoke, but he's not actually pulling any weight. And when I heard this story, it reminded me of this scripture, Matthew 11, verse 28. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He is gentle and humble. And he is not actually he's wanting to take weight off, not put weight on. He's wanting us to be free. So when we're yoked with Jesus, he bears the load and he bears the burdens, and we have to submit to the Savior's yoke. So Father God, I just thank you so much that, Lord, you're our burden carrier. You're our burden bearer. And Lord, that we're weighed down with things in our lives that we can be free of in an instant. Lord, you want us on the bus to freedom. You want us on the bus to liberty. Lord God, you want to bring us into that right. It's about being right with you, serving you, being served by you in that process, Lord. So we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now. Holy Spirit, fall upon the people here. Lord, may you awaken them to the things that are inside of them that you want them to be set free from. Lord, what are the dead leaves in their lives, God? What offenses, God, are they carrying? What healing do you want to bring to their lives, God? What old ways, old habits, old designs, old wineskins, God, in our lives are there? Will you reveal them by your Spirit, Father, I pray, right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come and reveal what needs to be healed. Father, what snakes are in our pathway that leads to freedom? Lord, what snakes are there? What lies, what deception is there operating in our life? What accusations and thoughts are we having, God, that are not from the throne room of grace? Father, I pray that you would bring your revelation to the hearts of those here, God. What is it in us? What is it in us that needs to be released so that we can come, that we can partake? We can partake in the joy, in the freedom, God, that you have for us. Lord, we just want to look like you, sound like you, be like you. Father, we just want to be who you've called us to be. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just shower the people here right now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. You just start to, are there things in your life? You just start to do business with the Lord where you are, asking him, Holy Spirit, he wants you to come to him. Close your eyes. Don't be distracted. Close your eyes. Lord, what is it in me that you want to see me free from? Lord, I just want to come to you. You can't, without coming to him, you won't see it. He wants to show you the things in us that are good too. He wants to show the good things inside of us, the beautiful things. I praise you, Holy Spirit, because you are good and you're kind. You're gentle and humble. Holy Spirit, come and touch each person.
Just before we close, I just feel to just throw out a challenge to everyone today. I might just invite Glenn to come up for a moment. I was just thinking a bit more about this verse and Carol's example of the oxen or the bullock with the yoke, you know. So imagine if I'm Jesus, right? And Glenn is a follower of Jesus, and this is the yoke. You know, the yoke is around our necks, you know. And wherever I go, Glenn will come, because we're yoked together. Isn't that right? Wherever Jesus goes, we follow him, you know. And sometimes he'll be tempted. He might be tempted to, you know, look at something bad on his phone. You know, he might be, you know, and Jesus is going, no, don't look at that. You know, it's okay. He might be tempted to go and get drunk or something, and there's a pub over there, and, you know, no, Jesus is going, no, come over this way. Come over this way, follow me. He might get angry at Maureen, and he might want to yell at his wife. And Jesus is going, no, calm down. Just, you know, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you the right words to say. He might be feeling lonely and rejected and attacked by people in his workplace. You know, he's a bus driver, you know, Brisbane bus driver. People yell at him, you know, happens all the time, doesn't it? And Jesus goes, it's okay, mate. Don't listen. Let those curses, let those words fall off you. You're a great man of God. I love you, you know. Wherever he goes, Jesus is with him. Because this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Kings. He knows the number of hairs in our heads. For me, it isn't that much anymore. He knows our thoughts. He knows our words. He knows everything about us. And wherever he goes, we're meant to follow Jesus. We're yoked together with Jesus. And it's not a heavy burden. I'm actually carrying him. Jesus actually carries. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's better when you're yoked to Jesus, isn't it? It's so much better. Because you've got the Son of God with your best interests at heart. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Then you call upon me and find me. You call upon me and you'll seek me, and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord. Jesus is with us. Now, the good news is that Jesus promised he'd never leave us or forsake us. Amen? But sometimes we push Jesus away, don't we? But Jesus is always pursuing us. He's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You'll find rest for your soul. Come to me. Because he loves us, doesn't he? Why don't we stand to our feet and let's pray. Give Glenn a big hand. Thank you for that. Lord Jesus, today we do want to come to you. We do want to come to you with all of our hearts. I saw a quote the other day that had the word busy, B-U-S-Y, and it said, busy under Satan's yoke. And it really challenged me because I thought, I've been so busy lately. I've had so much on. And Satan wants to yoke us to busyness. But Jesus wants us to come to him. That's the one thing that matters. Jesus, today we want to come to you. And we want to enter into your rest. We want to minister out of our relationship with you, not out of our busyness. We want to offer ourselves to you as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto you. But we can say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. Lord Jesus, would you lead us beside still waters? Lead us into greener pastures, like the good shepherd that you are. And just while we close the service today, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if today you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't asked him into your life, Jesus says, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, the Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then we will be saved. Maybe today you need to be saved. You need to give your life to Jesus. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer where you can invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You can have your sins forgiven and you can start again. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, I just want you to put your hand up high and we can pray that prayer together. That's awesome. I see that there. That's great. There's two people up the front here. Is there anybody else? that wants to say yes to Jesus today and have their sins forgiven, start a new life in Christ. Anybody else, just lift your hand up high so I can see it. Okay, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give these guys a hand that prayed that today. God bless you. And we're going to come and give you a Bible and some information about following Jesus in just a moment. And I'd like to invite my gorgeous wife out the front to pray for people today. Maybe you're in a place where you have been too busy, or you haven't been resting. You haven't been resting in Jesus. Maybe you've had all this worry and anxiety and stress weighing you down, and you need a fresh touch from God. I believe in the power of laying on of hands. I believe in miracles. Maybe you need a miracle in your life. You need healing in your life. We would love to pray with you today. So if you need some prayer today, come to the altar. We'll pray with you that you'll find rest in Jesus today.